The rules of narrative and clothing get a little loose and or missing in Gwendolyn and the Perils of Blah Blah Yik Yak something. This is Stinker Madness.
What's that smell?
I don't know about you, but I'm thirsty as fuck. Thirsty as fuck.
Hey, look at me!
Thrill me.
If you come back in here, I'm gonna hit you with so many rights, you're gonna beg for a left.
Thrill me.
Beg for a left.
Thrill me.
Hey, look at me!
No more hangers!
It stinks.
Hangers!
This is a chopper!
Stinker Madness.
Hello and welcome to Stinker Madness, the podcast about bad movies for bad movie lovers by bad movie lovers. I'm your host, Justin. I'm a bad movie lover. Sam is here. He's a bad movie lover. Jackie's here. She's a bad movie lover. This is a bad movie called Gwendolyn. Go.
It is just called Gwendolyn.
It should have been called Gwendolyn and the Land of the Boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boobs. It's not only called that. One of the alternative titles, if you look it up on IMDb, it's Gwendolyn and the
Yik-Yak. The Perils of Gwendolyn and the Valley of the Yik-Yak was its American release title.
There you go.
And I think it was probably done that way to separate it more from Just Yakin.
Oh.
Just Jackin.
The director.
If you're French, though, you probably like pronounce it Je Jackin. Or something like that. Right,
which, like, just because of our knowledge of Jacques Cousteau, just
you forget,
Jacquin.
And that my, whatever rudimentary knowledge of French is that you ignore half the consonants anyway at the end, so it's just like, je. His name's actually just, je.
Yeah, it's probably pronounced, je, but it's spelled Just Jackin.
Just Jackin.
In a booby movie. Directed a booby movie, and his name is Just Jackin.
Well, you know what other booby movie he directed.
Why don't you enlighten us?
The big one, Emmanuel.
Oh, yes.
And also Lady Chatterley.
I wouldn't say Emmanuel is more of a booby movie, but it's of a softcore porn, for
it's
sure.
It's the boob. It's the one.
There's only one set of boobs in it with lots of things happening to those particular boobs, but
Sylvia Crystal's boobs.
Right. So I wouldn't say it's... This is a booby movie, and the volume of boobs is immense.
Immense, yes.
Jackie, why don't you give us a without doing a straight-up internet IMDb-accurate titty count, how many pairs of sweater kittens would you say were in this film?
Well, just in the menu section alone.
Right, okay. The menu of the DVD. Mm-hmm.
Six.
Sorry. No, off the top of your head. What's the number? 30.
Oh, man. No.
Sets?
No, there's got to be more than that, because just in one scene alone, there's 9 sets.
50?
I'm thinking this thing is going to get close to 100 pairs.
100 pairs.
I'm with Sam.
Of knockers.
It's in there. It's in between 50 and 100.
That is a ludicrous amount of topless women.
I don't think that most women in this movie, in fact, I think the only women in this movie that had their tops on were the main characters.
The queen. The queen never gets them out.
Yeah, and the queen never gets them out either, but everybody else shows at least one boob.
Every single woman in this film, I think it's close to 100. That's insane. No other film that we have ever seen, and I've seen a lot of titty movies. Usually you get titties on screen for an extended period of time in a titty movie, say Jim Wynorski or something. You know,
sure.
He's milking the clock as much as he can with one or two sets of cans.
Keeping it in the R rating.
Right. This is an overwhelming amount of topless or thong-wearing women that I can't even make a comparison to.
No.
Caligula?
You'd think, no, Caligula's not. Well, beyond not as many boobs, it's just definitely not as much fun. Oh, Caligula's hard to watch.
No, it is, but I mean, just volumes. In any movie, fun, not fun, has there any been a... I guess it's French, so maybe the rules are different, but that we've seen that has this many cans in it.
Yeah, well, they had to cut. We watched the French version.
They reduced...
Yeah, they cut this thing down by 20 minutes. So
they reduced the number of cans.
A lot of cans got cut.
All right. Well, so we get the good version.
And that's, as we saw, the title was Gwendolyn. All the titles were French.
Sure.
And if you're going to watch this movie, this is definitely the version you want to watch.
Absolutely.
Because there's almost 100 sets of boobs in it.
It's insane. And
And I don't think you could cut anything out and have it make any damn sense.
Oh, I don't think you could cut out anything out that has boobs in it and have it be as much fun, even if the women were wearing tops. It's not just because the boobs are there that you're like, hey, boobs, great, I'm 13 and bleer. It's the things that are happening on screen that if you cut those topless scenes out, you would lose so much of the shenanigans of this film.
Absolutely.
How would you even do it?
It doesn't work thematically because there are scenes that are just like, this is they take their shirts off scene.
Right. Yeah, there's a and big one on that.
They, you know, at least they get it, you know, equal opportunity. I mean, Brent Huff is as stripped down as anyone.
Sure. So.
He looked a lot better in this movie to me.
Because you saw his butt.
Yeah.
And possibly his dong.
Maybe a little hair sack in there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Might have been his. Might have been nobody's.
Show us your balls.
Exactly. When that happened, I was so fucking excited. I'm like, this movie has it all. And I love how the first woman throws herself down there to get a whiff. Like, yeah. Yeah,
okay, we'll get to that. Yeah, well. We'll get, yeah, let's table that for a little bit. Let's talk about Brent Huff, the star whose character's name is Willard.
Willard, very odd hero name.
Yeah, it is. He's...
He tells the news.
Yeah. That is true. That is not the title name of a... dastardly hero, but of a local news channel weatherman.
A rough cad with a heart of gold.
Yeah, he's a scoundrel.
He is a scoundrel.
I'm going to argue that heart of gold pretty hard, but...
I don't really think he's a scoundrel as much as he's just a...
General scumbag?
He's a butthole.
Yeah, he's a butthole, dude.
A bad person?
He's looking out for number one, and he does not give a fuck about anybody else.
And he's a murderer.
Yeah, and he's a murderer, a very casual murderer.
Casual murderer.
It was like, oh... I'm going to need that back.
And I'm going to say that he's a casual rapist, too. But we'll get to that. I've got an argument there. He is involved with two ladies that, well, he's not involved like, I mean, he will become involved with.
Sure.
Actually, he becomes involved with both of them. Played by Tawny Kitaen, one from such fame as being David Coverdale's girlfriend in the 80s.
And in the, which was... propagated by her starting in the video, right?
Are you sure it's not this?
I don't know. Because when was... So this is 84. Uh-huh. That's like key component. So this was released in 84. So...
And MTV was what, 81? The video Kill the Radio Star was, I think, 81?
Yeah.
So we're in a three-year window where I don't think David Coverdale and Tawny Kitaen had become a thing at this point.
And none of these people... So you'd say Brent Huff at this point is still doing underwear ads.
Uh-huh.
So these are all models.
Right.
And one of the other things with Jacquin, maybe?
Right. Oh, just call him Jackin.
He's just Jackin.
Yeah. It's hard to find out a lot about this guy, but he's a fashion photographer the whole time. Even when he was doing these movies, he was a fashion photographer. So he's got connections to models. So everybody in this movie is a model or a former model. The third gal, Zabu, she's a, you know... 5 years before this, she's the it French model. So that's where Tawny Kitaen was a model before she was any of the things. And so was Brent Huff, and so was Abu. And so
they Abu also, was the one with the brown hair, right?
Yeah, she's the third.
Zabu.
If you're in French, it's bleh.
If you're familiar with Felicia Hardy. Wait, no, Felicia Hardy is the black cat. Felicia Day's career. The Guild, her big show that she started on, her boyfriend's name was Zabu.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
How about the
Pakistani kid that's hilarious in it. I think he went on to become somebody too, maybe. I think he's freelancing improv or something. Yeah, so that's what I thought. Zabu! Awesome. She's fun. I liked Beth, who Zabu plays Beth, the lady servant friend of Gwendolyn.
I can't tell what she is,
what her job, or is she just pal, or I don't know.
No, she's like an attendant of some sort.
Like a chaperone
maybe, but she seems to be about the same age. Well, I don't know. Yeah, she's maybe a couple years older than
She's like a saucy lady's maid, I guess.
Yeah,
and she is a couple years older. Like, as I said, I think this is sort of like your peak Tawny Kitaen modeling, and this is probably 5 years after Zabu was the it girl in France. So. Okay. All right. Even though she still looks really, really young.
Right. Yeah. She's probably 22.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I liked her. I liked her character. I thought she was fun. I thought she did a good job, too, for especially when stacked next to the other two, because the other two kind of stink. They're not very good actors.
Great underwear models, both of them.
Yeah. But she did pretty good.
Yeah.
There's not really a clear villain in this film, an antagonist of any sort. I would say that Brett Huff's character, Willard, is probably the closest she can get to being the bad guy of this film.
By the end, by the third gear change in the film, there's like, oh, there's a bad guy now.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Sort of.
Yeah, there's some adversaries, the indigenous people.
Yeah.
They're adversaries for all of like 5 minutes. And then, yeah, the evil queen.
Yeah, and then Brett Huff and various bad guys, but not really an overarching antagonist.
No.
But I guess just
nature.
Nature is, and challenges are the antagonists. The plot is basically Tawny Kitaen has a father who is a bug catcher.
He's a biologist
of exotic butterflies.
Whatever a bug biologist would be.
I think he's a zoologist.
Entomologist.
Entomologist. Mm-hmm. Good call. Mm-hmm. It was not a zoologist. I award you 0 points and may God have mercy on your soul, Jackie.
Well, I don't even care because
good one.
I'm Brett Huff.
I know you are, but what am I? Just start reading me.
I'm glue. You bounce off me in 60 years.
Just start reading me some Trump tweets in response. Like, very bad facial scars, bleeding everywhere. You're stupid. What?
Yeah, and he's been lost out in wherever the Yik Yak is, which is kind of like a imaginary land that would be part Tibet, part jungle, part Sahara Desert, part Hong Kong, just a very weird place that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Shangri-La, as it were.
For a budget film, I give this thing like super props on world building.
Yeah.
Like they made an imaginary place. They made a very immersive land that it works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good job, guys.
That's sort of. And he has gone missing. So she's trying to find him.
Yes.
And he went missing trying to find the most wonderful butterfly of all time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought she had a dream. And so she went to go save him. Because she keeps talking about her dream.
Yeah,
her
she
dream.
Did. But he did go after the butterfly, too.
It could also just be a loony fucking movie. But I don't know. Your theory could be whatever. I got my. You guys ready?
No, it's why not?
I got nothing
else. Yeah, I think we should just merge those two concepts together and move on.
Okay. So the film opens up on a crowded street in a town called Cha-ching.
Which was awesome.
Cha-ching, China. Ooh.
Yep.
Ooh. Racist?
Why? Yep.
A little.
Sure
it's
is.
A little racist.
Especially
but this is the 80s.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm certain that like the way that this thing's shot and the sort of horse trader Jess Jackin is that he made some deal and got a Shaw Brothers set for another movie for 2 days.
It is a huge set.
This is not within the budget of this film.
It's an entire street, like one of those super busy streets with street vendors. There's a fucking Model A truck driving down the middle of it. It's overcrowded at the end of it. What are we thinking? Like 200 feet on this street?
And
before
big
you
enough
get
to have
the giant ship?
Big enough to have two horses.
And too big, two horses!
Yeah, it could only be. They could have easily had it in half the soundstage, but it's half the soundstage long ways. So
probably 80 people inside of this one shot.
It's a big deal for
it's
the budget
a big
of this film.
Fucking set. Yeah, I really liked that opening shot. The trolley shot, right? Yeah. And there's some ruffians about town causing general mayhem, and they're down at the docks at the end of the street, and they find a crate filled with Bibles, and they're like, yeah, we could, I don't know what we're going to do with this. Sell it to Christians?
Yeah.
Yeah. And inside of another crate, though, is a lady.
Yep.
Yep.
She, I am to infer, because she doesn't have a passport, as it's re-exposed earlier or later, that she's smuggled herself into Cha-ching?
Yes.
Is that going on? What's
she
going
just
on?
Tried the damn airfare's too expensive. They won't let me wear hot pants on the United. So I'm just going to UPS it over to China.
And it's Gwendolyn.
Yes.
The title person of the character. Well, that's not language. Now, how did Beth get there? Because Beth comes and checks on her. She's not in a crate.
She's the advanced party.
Oh.
She probably has a passport.
Oh, she's recon.
Yeah.
I see.
She's gone in first.
Mm.
Now she's waiting.
So she took Delta?
Yeah, she dressed appropriately.
Yeah, right.
Still got kicked off.
Yeah.
She looked at him the wrong way.
Boosh. These ruffians have stolen Gwen. They're taking her to the, I guess, like a human trafficker guy.
It's obviously like a whorehouse and
a whorehouse guy.
It's a casino and a whorehouse that he's got all of the fixes in there. I think there's some drugs too. So
might be, yeah,
definitely booze.
Yeah, at least booze. So they're gonna like, hey, you can turn her into a whore at your casino, even though, like, she's an American woman. That
she's blonde.
Probably not gonna be very happy about it.
I'm like, no, she's got red hair.
Red hair.
It was really weird, but they were like, oh, she's a blonde. You don't have a blonde. And I'm like, or a redhead. Whatever.
They want $10,000 for her.
$10,000.
That's what they said. Like, $10,000 or $12,000 maybe. And then he's like, $300. That was the counter. Ooh. Somebody is bad at haggling.
Yeah.
Because they take $350.
Right.
Actually, I don't even think they'd get $350. I think they get kicked out.
I think they get murdered. But well come
no, because you see him in the street later when Zabu walks by.
Oh, yeah?
And they're counting out the money.
Oh, so they took the $350, huh?
Yeah.
Ooh, top dollar. So she's in there getting hassled, like, hey, we're going to turn you into a prostitute, and so we need to loosen you up. This is your orientation video of becoming a captive hooker lady.
Yeah.
Here's how it's going to start. We're going to tear off all your clothes and commit horrible deeds to your body. Yeah. So, any questions?
Yeah, tell me a little about yourself.
He does ask her that.
Yeah, no, it's like, we're just going to ask we had a little questionnaire. Going to get you housed with some people of similar interests.
Here's our non-compete clause.
Yeah. Have you ever clawed anyone's eyes out? Yeah.
Okay.
Have you thought about it? Just even a little.
These are just standard questions that HR makes me ask.
Everyone on here. Do you own a knife?
Well, fortunately, she doesn't have to start her first day of work because Willard swings in through the window via grappling hook.
Throat stab
that kills this crime lord HR director.
Slowly.
Very slowly.
He's alive through the whole... Yeah, so you were just watching and you're like, okay, well, this is going to be a bad deal for Tawny Katina. And all of a sudden, throat hook out of nowhere. And then not even that. It's like he doesn't even need to throat hook him because of how fast he comes in through the window.
Right.
He was just standing outside that window.
He actually doesn't even come up through the window.
No.
He
comes through it.
Comes through it, which the grappling hook would do nothing. He just killed a man.
He just was, well, kind of, because he's talking to him throughout the scene. Like, oh, you old horse trader, once I get my money out of you, I'll go ahead and have some cards with you. And he's like, yeah, stabbed in the throat with
him. You know what he was doing? He was just out on one of those fire escape ladder things, you know, that you climb down in, like, in the cities of New York, and he's peeking in through the windows. He's like, what's going on in there? Hey, there's a lady. And when the guy pulls her shirt down, rips her dress, and he saw a bra on her there, he was like, yeah, you know what? It's Tawny Katina. I'm probably not going to see her boobs, so I'll just kill this guy.
Yeah.
He's thinking he's going to see her boobs because it's Tawny Katina. We'll get to that later.
Mm-hmm.
But so he just was disappointed, like, waiting out there. So he's like, yeah, fuck it. I'll go in now. We're not going to see her boobs. So that's what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he then has a karate fight that is...
You say karate. I say lumpy mashed potatoes.
Lumpy. Yeah. It's not
he
good.
He jumped.
Oh.
Like twice.
Oh, man.
His athleticism is unrivaled, but the camera angles weren't there sometimes.
Not good. Mm-mm. Not good. And his action face was not good. And boy, oy, 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 oy. There's a reason Shokasugi did all the fighting in that 9 Deaths of the Ninja.
Yeah. Brent Huff punches some people in it, but they, you know, angled it. It's obvious that, like, throughout this film, some of the shots are just like, wow, what a shot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's obvious that he has had no experience in action films.
No, 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 no. This is a real bad karate fight.
Yeah.
But it involves him basically killing everybody. He cuts one guy's chest open and chucks a sword through another dude.
The strange little man.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a strange little man in this scene.
And he doesn't even care about Tawny Katane. He was just there for the cash.
$300
Yeah, like, you owe me this, Buster.
And he's talking to him, like, all right, okay, we're even now. Yeah, oh, shit, you're
see
dead.
See you next week. Oh, no, he bled out right there in front of me.
Huh. Whatever, okay. I'm going to go downstairs and gamble in your casino anyway.
Yep.
Yep.
House rules.
And I'm the house.
Ugh. Yeah, he just leaves Tawny Katane there. And Zabu, Beth, has been nabbed by the other toughs, and she's brought in. But they see Tawny Katane, and they're like, she's killed them all! So they run out. Like, fucking shit, we're out of here. We gotta go get some heavies. So the ladies are reunited again.
Mm-hmm.
And they flee out of there. And they find Willard, and he's down gambling. And they're like, help us, we're being chased by horrible, brutish men.
How do you think she identified Willard? Was it by his shoes, by his pants, or his crotch smell, Jackie?
In a crowded area like that?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure everybody sinks in there, Sam.
Yeah, I'm going with the white hat, the white sailor's hat.
No, remember, they're climbing under the table.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
And she identifies him by his lower half.
I'm going with crotch smell at that point.
So it's everybody's crotch smells. He just has a different plumage, you might say.
He admits later that he hasn't bathed in quite some time.
That's true.
Yeah.
She says he stinks. It's
pheromones.
It's like a older Gouda mixed in with like a rotten mint jelly.
Sure.
Smell. Mm-hmm. That's what he's.
Why do you know that smell so well?
Crotch. I don't bathe.
He just pretends to be a boat captain in the backyard and doesn't take baths.
Set sail for adventure!
Yep.
Okay, ding, new ding. Rule. Swimming in the swimming pool does not count as a bath for you, Justin.
Why do you think it was green the other day? It's not algae. That's crotch rot.
Oh.
Yeah, my balls fell off last week. It's rotted right through. Real gross. I'm like a zombie down there. Mm-hmm. Disgusting. And he doesn't give a shit, Willard, despite all their pleas for help. Like, they're going to murder us. We will do anything for you, please. He's like, nope, I'm gambling. Beat it, tootsies.
Yep. Well, he already lost me $60.
You got a problem? Talk to this guy. He's the chief of police. Oh, hi, I'm the chief of police. Would you like to report a crime? Yes, hold on. There is the obligatory rape that I'm going to give you first. Mm-hmm. Before then, you can file a report. Then we'll take all your information.
But, sure.
Mind my hands. Real bad guy, this police chief.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a creeper.
A creeper? A creeper is a guy that, like, hi, can I have your shoes? This guy is the most corrupt human being that's ever... He's in charge of the police, whose job it is to protect people, and he rapes a woman in front of all the people!
He's head of the rape force.
Yes! Not good!
He assaults her, doesn't rape her.
Well,
given enough time, things would have gone south.
Assault is that's maybe sexual assault, but when you just say assault, that's like punching somebody in the stomach. His hands go to places that are, I can see some penetration happen.
He starts in Southtown.
Yeah, he starts at the beef, Jack. Just jacking.
Just jacking.
Not good. But Tawny Katane's clever, and she's like, oh, yeah? Well, here's what's going to happen. We're going to place a bet, either on black or red, and if it's black, you're going to help us. And he's like, wait, and she does it, and she's like, see, it's black. You have to help us. I didn't say yes, but I guess he just has a sense of honor.
Well, it's like the honor among thieves. He's like, yeah, she wanted me some cash, so I'll take her to a guy who's getting a tongue bath.
Yeah. That's weird. Like, let's go upstairs. The answers you need to your quest of Butterfly Dad is upstairs in this, I guess it's like a whore room? Whatever you call those?
He seems
to be... an opium den.
Kind of, but it's like his room because he's got like a map on there.
Yeah, it's his place.
So he's just up there smoking opium and he's not having sex. He's just letting a woman give him a bath with her tongue. And she has to do it through the whole scene.
The whole scene.
She stops, though, like halfway and just kind of hangs out.
Could you have done it? Just lick this guy. Just lick this guy. If you wet your tongue on these envelopes.
And this drugged up dude is like, well, I know all about what you're looking for. There's a butterfly. There's a dude, butterfly man. He went to find the butterfly. And it's at the Valley of the Yik Yak. So good luck.
You're going to die.
Going to die real bad. Doomed. Doomed. Oh, you don't want to go up to that valley. No. It's built on top of an Indian burial ground. Yep. Yik Yak. They don't even get a chance to go find the Yik Yak. They're all arrested by the rapey chief of police.
Sure.
Hey, we found this room filled with bodies. It's got your crotch stench all over it, Brett Huff. And you two ladies, you don't have passports, so you're going to jail.
Going to jail. This is what you get when you don't let the chief of police rape somebody in public.
Yeah. Okay. It's a pig prison, too. It's interesting. There's piggies everywhere.
I think the animals serve as an early alarm system that you're trying to do something stupid.
Oh, no. That pig's the best wheelman in four counties.
Nice.
What if it's more sinister than that? Like, what if this jail is so bad? What if it's like Sheriff Clark from Wisconsin, where people just die in his prison? Or, yeah, Milwaukee's sheriff, where people just die in his prison. And they're like, well, we don't have a way to remove the body, so we'll just stick fucking hogs in there like Bricktooth and Bricktop in Snatch.
Absolutely.
Their corpse disposal.
No, I'm telling that one pig, though, he can drive.
Yeah, he's a good driver.
Yeah, the one with the spots.
Yeah.
The one that has a friend that's a best friend that's a lady spider. That's a good one.
No, that's no.
No. No.
There is no levity in Charlotte's Web.
Yeah. Way to try to jump on the bandwagon and be like fucking lame about it.
I don't know your guys.
Shut up over there.
Cool stories about drug heists and bank robberies. I just know Charlotte's Web.
Ugh. Why are we doing the podcast with him?
Because I'm the only one that knows how to turn on the recording equipment.
Oh, okay. There's just
a switch in the front.
Trapped by my technology. So they're like, help us, Willard, because he's just like chilling out in this prison. Like, man, whatever. Yeah, it's cool. I'll get out of here eventually. Maybe you ladies should take your shirts off and then we'll talk. Help us, help us. And he's like, okay, get out of the way. And picks up Gwen, and then proceeds to sexually assault her.
Mm-hmm. But she likes it.
Yeah, she's like, oh.
She puts up a fight for a little bit, and then it's okay when she likes it. She's like, even worse than if she just liked it, Sam.
Yeah, and then he's like, you're not supposed to like this. This is part of the ruse to get us out of here.
Uh-huh.
So he has to give her a hard butt slap and squeeze to get her to squeal again.
Which works. The guard's like, hey, stop that sexual assault, I guess.
By this point, I'm pretty sure that Zabu has been raped by the police chief.
Oh, well, she's in the cell with her.
Yeah, but I think that she...
Do you think that's going to stop that guy?
Well, she's probably already been to Cleveland twice with that guy, but...
Yeah.
The pig drove him there.
No, I was talking about she had to poop on him.
Yeah, Cleveland steamer.
Oh, that.
Yeah. The pig's not into the scat play.
I thought you just drove from Cha-Ching to Cleveland, and that's where you got the good sex.
No, I'm telling you, the pig works like this. You call him, and he's like, you show up at this time, you have me for between 1:30 and 1:45, I'm yours. After that, I drive.
I'll drive you to Cleveland.
No.
Which is like how Paris is the city for lovers. Cleveland is the city for sexual assaulters.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was a city for dumpers.
I'm kidding. Yeah, or that. I'm kidding, Cleveland. You're a wonderful town.
Scat love cats. You, Cleveland. You rock.
You're the biggest brown spot in my eye.
Oh.
Hey, the Browns. They do have the Browns. That's true. Pretty brown spot. Not a good football team.
Well, they...
Jake's going to take up.
Does anybody else want another one? Wime up.
Yeah. Why don't you give me one?
All right, fine.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, podcast listener. We have to take a break to enjoy some delicious Zima. Sticker Madness, brought to you by the good folks at Zima.
Limited release. Write your congressman. Tell him, God damn it, leave the Zima on the goddamn shelves.
Why don't we just tell Zima Coors right now? Hey, if you're listening and work at Coors, send us some more Zima. Oh, and also just sell it.
That's true. I just like, you know, write your Congress. Write the do-nothings in Congress.
This is where we're going to go with the Zima commercial. Yeah. Congress. You're going to complain about the government not getting anything done.
Mm-hmm. When you tell them they're going to take the Zima off. We could
talk directly to the people that make the product we're selling and say, hey, sell us some more of this delicious Zima. Zima guys.
Yeah, you should sell us more of the Zima guys. Howard Johnson is right.
All right, I got some more beer for everybody. Proceed, Captain.
So the guard comes over and is like, what? Let me help you out, ladies. And Willard grabs his head, pulls it through the bars of the prison, but cuts his ears off.
Rips his ears off, and then slams his head into the vertical or the horizontal bar hard enough that it kills him.
I have never seen anything like that.
And then grabs his keys and says, thanks, bud.
That was insane.
Yes.
His ears came off.
He only was without them for about a half a second.
Right. But they were stuck to the prison bars.
I've seen that play out 1,000 times.
Ooh. Well,
that's some violent shit.
He didn't clean behind his ears. How many times have your mom had to tell you that?
So your joke would require Willard to care about cleanliness, and he does not. Otherwise, somebody would have shoved his balls into a blender. You didn't clean those balls, you lose them, Buster.
No, his ears got stuck on the bars because there was munch on them.
I didn't get your joke, but now I do. I still don't like it.
Sounds like he's got a hearing problem.
Oh, yeah, we should. Okay, what's our... Okay, that's your one-liner. Mine is...
I'm not listening.
You'll never enjoy Zep over headphones ever again, Buster.
Oh, boo.
Did you hear about those new steel bar hearing aids? They don't work so good.
So it was all just a ruse to escape.
Yes.
Okay. You couldn't have been like, oh, guard, I don't feel good. I think I've got dysentery or something like in every other movie and then rip his ears off. No, you have to assault the lady first.
I think this is the kind of prison that you do not give a shit if you do not feel good.
Then they shouldn't give a shit if he's sexually assaulting her. Like, hey, stop that. She's trying, a nice lady.
Maybe he was going in to get in the action.
Oh, that's a good guard. Then say, be like, hey, pretend you're asleep. Pretend you're asleep. Lay down. Pretend you're asleep. Guard, this woman's dead. Come have sex with her dead body.
Not the same thing.
Okay, because that's what you're implying is that they're just so gross. They're like, oh, okay, whatever. I'm going to come in there. Why would they have to be like, hey, that guy's sexually assaulting her? If they're so bad, why wouldn't they just go in there and sexually assault her? No, he uses sexual assault as an excuse, or escaping as an excuse to commit bad things to her virginal body.
Sure.
He's a dirtbag.
Son of a bitch.
Yep.
Who's good at getting out of jail.
Not a heart of gold on this one. Oh, no. He's good at getting out of jail. He's also good at using that as an excuse to touch a virgin's butt.
Well, he didn't know. It was just a butt to him at that point. Mm-hmm. He finds out later.
All right. So they're out of there. And he's like, you know what? Beat it, ladies. I want to have nothing to do with you. I'm a rogue. A lone wolf. I don't play by the rules of society or kindliness. I've got my own agenda, and you can just fuck off. But they are like, no, we're not going to fuck off. We're going to get on your boat.
Mm-hmm.
We're already here waiting for you by the time you get back. So what's he do? Chucks them off.
Yep. And then he has a nice nap.
He throws them off his boat.
Yep.
Not get out of here, ladies. He picks them up and throws them off the side into the ocean. Twice.
Two times. Well, he has a nice nap. Then he gets up. They're back on. Guess what? You're off. Getting tossed off the boat again.
No.
And they're like, ew. And he had like a drug deal earlier where he's going to smuggle some drugs. Mm-hmm. Like, we hid your drugs.
Get your drugs.
Yeah, in a longer way in the movie. But basically they hid his drugs and he's like, God damn it. I got to kill this gator. And he just throws his switchblade grappling hook at a gator.
I'm going to say that gator might have been blind. He did not have eyeballs.
Was it a gator or one of those like monsters that get drawn on ye olde time maps? There be monsters here because this thing looks like a sea beast.
It was a paper mache.
It's awful looking. It is not alligator-esque.
Of all of the amazing set pieces and art and sculptures in this movie, whoever got the alligator Whoever pulled that job fucked it up bad.
Hey, I found this alligator on the set of one of Roger Corman's movies. You want to put it in here? Yeah, sure, why not? Hey, if it's good enough for Roger Corman, it's good enough for just Jackin.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, God damn it. We didn't have a backup gator. Let's use it.
Gary, did you run over the gator with your car?
Yes.
It's papier mâché.
Papier mâché. All right, well, he's in now because they got his drugs. Set sail for adventure. Here we go. But along the way, pirates. Stopped by pirates. Hey, where's the drugs?
I don't know if these are pirates. I think these are the guys he's supposed to give the drugs to.
That's really? What I thought, too. Yeah. Like, they're there to collect. He knows that they're coming. Huh. He's setting up the trap. Like, I don't have any drugs to give these people. They're going to come after me. He's setting up the bags of crap on the sail and everything, right? So he's ready.
Okay.
And then he kills all of them.
They don't make it.
And he names them. Like, he's like, hey, Steve, knife in the throat. That's got to be, like, rough. Like, hey, guy that I've been working with for 2 years that I know on a first-name basis, mm-hmm. You're fucking dead.
All because two ladies stole my drugs.
They stole the drugs. And I'm just going to play it out like this.
Why, if he's... I guess here's his one defense. Like, if he was such a dirtball that I'm making him out to be, he could just go to the drug dealers. These ladies stole my drugs. Can you just get them and torture the shit out of them mm-hmm. until they tell you where the drugs are, and then we can go on about our business?
Yeah, we wouldn't have a movie then.
That's true. We wouldn't have a movie. But maybe he's a little bit better guy than I give him credit. Yeah, but all the pirates are dead. Their boat gets lit on fire. Goes poorly. And Gwen has started to... really, really believe in his wonderfulness as a human being. She's watched him murder several people, and she is looking at him as if he's Neil Diamond.
Yeah, he's steering the boat. He's got a rooster next to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this guy, he's a murderer. He doesn't take baths.
I never imagined men could be like this.
He has a pet cock. I love him.
You know how they say that young women always fall in love with their dad?
This is not her dad.
He can't be her dad.
No.
Her dad is a butterfly man.
Yeah, this guy does not collect butterflies.
He does not give a fuck about butterflies. He collects the ears of his enemies and wears them on a necklace.
Yep. And he also collects STDs.
Yeah, that too. But that's just because of the water he swims around in. That's really just gross water.
And by water, he swims around the whorehouses.
And pee. On to Tacoma, Washington.
Not Tacoma, Washington. Some other place.
Tacoma.
Taco and, Del Mar.
Yeah. It's the last stop before the Yik Yak, basically. This territory or whatever we want to label it as. But they meet this guy named Tom at the dock who's like, well, hey, it's good to see you, Willard. Who are these ladies? This one's looking for a butterfly. And... this one's her lady servant, and I hope to give them both gonorrhea shortly. And
well, I think you're skipping over the best part of this one. He's like, what does your dad look like?
Yeah.
No, I'm getting there.
Oh.
Getting there.
All right.
It turns out, I mean, we could line for line the script, or we can interpret it as I choose to do frequently, Jackie. But anyways, this guy's like, oh, butterfly person, huh? Daughter of butterfly lover? Well... here's the deal. A butterfly guy came through here about 6 weeks ago. He was flayed open and hung up in a tree by his skull and skeleton, spinal cord, and his blood dripped onto the leaves below, and Arnold walked by and didn't notice. He's dead as shit, and I stole his clothes.
His bowels had evacuated, and I decided, mm-hmm. hey, those are nice pants.
These are nice pants. So I took them.
He also had his hat.
Yeah.
I am wearing the clothing of your dead father who yep. was murdered horribly.
And he's getting drunk by himself while he's telling this story. Yeah.
Not a good stop, the Tacoma.
No. I don't like to go there.
I think this could have been handled a little better, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
You wasted your entire time by coming to Cha-Ching and looking for the Yik Yak. Your dad is dead. Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Dead as shit. And I'm wearing real his clothes.
A real mess. I mean, like, whew. Never seen somebody.
I'm really happy that this shirt is in one piece because his arm was off. I think the dogs got it or something.
He was sacrificed, right?
Well, that's up to like, he's like, oh, he should have been sacrificed, but the thing was, it was definitely a gunshot wound.
Right. He was stuck up to these spider web thingy dingies that are like where, I guess, like pre-Aztec go to the top of the temple and Salaram Mularam and your heart gets pulled out type thing.
They just tie you up alive and then the spirits take you.
Yeah, and it stops the winds of Dremond.
Okay,
I'm just calling him that. I don't know if that's what they were really called.
Sure, no, that's fine. So you just hang up there and die, like you starve to death, or
no? They disappear, Justin.
They disappear.
The winds come and they disappear off the spider webs.
The poison web, this poison storms.
Sure,
right.
So it eats your flesh. Then why doesn't it eat the flesh of the?
Because the women are stealing them off of the spider webs.
Well, now you're just going ahead too far.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, nice job, Jackie. Okay, so
yeah,
you didn't
that's
put
right.
that together, huh?
Nah, I sure didn't.
As a penis-crazed woman, I know when to steal somebody off of a spider web.
When they have a penis.
That's right. Nobody's looking, steal them off the spider web.
All right, so he's been shot by a gunshot, but he was supposed to be sacrificed to stop the winds of change. Shout out to the Scorpions. And she's like, fuck this shit. I don't give a crap. I do give a crap that my dad is dead. I give so much of a crap that I'm pissed, and I'm going to find that blood butterfly, and I'm going to fucking stick it in the heart and smelt it in cyanide and put it in, like, one of those cabinets and then sell it to a high school that, like, in the science room that's going to smell real bad because all the formaldehyde, but I'm going to name it my dad.
Mm-hmm.
This is my dad, the butterfly. In his honor, bam, she drops the mic into the ocean and struts.
Strutter, ba-dunna, gonna get back on the boat and get some more dysentery. Da-da. What? If your jokes get stuck ass on this podcast, so can mine.
No, I'm afraid they can't. I need your guys to be really good to compensate for how bad
mine are. We are the counterbalance, yeah. Jackie.
Oh, God, sorry. I have been drinking.
You're the bad joke collateral.
This is the first episode I have drank on in a long ass time.
Probably 6 months, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't do a lot of drinking episodes anymore.
Yeah, we sure don't.
After the, you know.
The incident.
The incident. Near dark. Real bad time.
Where Sam does not remember recording said
episode.
I don't
remember a damn second of it.
All right, we have to move on, folks. So she's like, okay, I'm going to need Willard's help. How am I going to get him involved in this? Because he's like, I'm just going to go back to cha-ching and go back to my gambling and whoring. Am I not bathing? And she's like, no, you're going to help me. And I'm going to pay you $2,000. He's like, $2,000? Are you kidding me? Okay, I'm in. Now she's screwed because she doesn't have $2,000. But she has his drugs.
Yes.
So where are the drugs?
What downstairs. Kind of drugs?
What kind of drugs, Danny?
What kind of money, Danny? So she sells to Tom Willard's drugs for $2,000 and then buy some supplies. So she is like, she's not double dipping. She's like
triple dipping. But the way it works out, I'm pretty sure that Tom's like, well, I hope so-and-so doesn't find out about this. I'm pretty sure so-and-so got burned to the river in his own boat.
Yeah, he's fucking dead.
So like, really, these drugs are sort of like a free and clear
free
deal.
Drugs?
Yeah, and all of a sudden this is sort of like she's turned this drug situation that started with murder into a real profitable deal for everybody because she's going to get her butterfly. Tom gets to sell the drugs for however much. And then Willard is going to get more money than he's ever seen at one time, which is $2,000 because he's really needs to charge more.
You know, it's not very profitable for a specific group of people. The people who have been knifed to death by grappling hook, it's not real profitable to them.
No.
Because they're dead from grappling hook.
Yeah, what? Want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs.
And use a grappling hook to do so. Okay, so she pays him, and they're off to the Yik Yak. And Willard the whole time is just being a fucking asshole. Just an incorrigible butthole.
He's the biggest douche ever.
He's like a child.
He's like the child that mothers have to take with them when they go shopping for groceries. Yeah. And the whole time they're like, no, I don't want to. I hate shopping for groceries. Screaming the entire time.
Yeah.
And like, you know what? You're going to sit in the car, and then you stick him in the car with all the windows up, and then they fucking die. And then you go to jail because the little kid was an asshole. That's not justice.
And he's making like the little snot nose comments constantly. Everything's got a comment to it. Like if he was a child and his mom was like, so do you want cornflakes for cereal? He's like, if I wanted to eat poop for breakfast, then yes.
Willard goes hit the car. I can't. It's hot. I don't care.
I guess the police will come after I'm dead. Hope you enjoy prison. I'll write a note saying that you've been feeding me poop.
Oh my god, dude. Please tell me he stole some Hubba Bubba on his way out.
Well, funny thing happens on the way to the forum. It starts raining. And what do you do when it starts raining?
This is what I've always done.
It's an emergency. It's not like, hey, you know, it's raining. We should do something about this. It's a fucking emergency.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit, right now.
Holy shit. Stop what you're doing. And get naked.
Take your shirts off as quick as you can. We need this water. Okay, what?
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 The fuck?
So that happens.
Well, he successfully uses his shirt to fill back up his canteen, but the other two are struggling terribly.
He could just stick his canteen up, Jackie, and catch rain or use leaves. This is the most thinly veiled excuse to get tits out. It's real bad.
Well, you know, in the movie's defense, the tits hadn't been out in a while, and I was starting to lose focus.
Now,
it was thinly veiled, though, because I think that there's other like more blatant, say Andy Sedaris, but they're not veiled at all. It's just like a woman stands up and goes, hey, look at these.
Right.
Boobs are out like, hey, all right, thank you. This is like, oh, this rain is an what?
We are going to die if we don't take our shirts off.
Yes.
Ladies.
And the first time that I saw this, because there was so many boobs and that the two main actresses hadn't, I was like, oh, this is going to be one of those that you got the name. I guess she's a name or something. And she wasn't probably in 1984. So they're just going to dodge these boobs and give us other boobs. And then all of a sudden, this is the moment where we're like, no, I'm sorry. You're going to get a lot of these boobs.
I was really surprised to see Tawny Katane take her shirt off. I thought she never had.
Oh, she did.
I was very surprised.
I think that by the end of this thing, screen time, she's got to be 60-40 shirt on versus off.
She's as topless as Fonda, Jane Fonda in Barbarella.
Well, way more.
No, her tits are never out exposed fully. They're shot cleverly around, but she's topless about as much as Barbarella is. This is not so clever shooting. I mean, a couple times. She covers up pretty well, but not so much. I had no idea. And I thought the reason why she never got him out was because she was an A cup. Tawny Katane is no A cup.
She's, I was appreciative.
She's the first a smuggler. She's a total smuggler.
I was always like, what's the deal with Tawny Katane? Are you kidding me? Right. And then you watch this thing and you're like, oh, I see.
Noted.
yes. Fuck you, David Coverdale.
Jackie, Tawny Katane, hot or not?
I like the brown. I like Zubu better.
They're both hot. Zubu. Even though she's super frumpy when she's dressed, she gets naked and you're like, oh, all right, hey.
Yeah, to me, I would rather look at the brown-haired one.
Okay.
But Tawny Katane has that weird combination of boobs and butt that most chicks do not get.
Yeah, I never understood it. Like you watch that David fucking Whitesnake video where she's crawling on the car in the white dress, and it's like, you know, I mean, I guess if you're like from a small town and like this is the local sweetheart, the cheerleader club lady or whatever, but Hollywood hubba hubba, no, I'm not getting that. But she took her shirt off and I was like, where did those, huh? How about that?
Where were you putting those anyway?
What? Huh. So that's all that scene was.
It was just take your shirt off time. Yeah.
Next scene. It's not raining. Shirts are back on. Right. But they get trapped in a cage. Not a Nick Cage, but a cage. And they're nabbed by the natives. Or
the people that have to sacrifice to the winds of...
The Mupani Wanwan.
The dust in the winds.
Yeah, the dust in the winds.
Kansas. And the guy who's got the butterfly on his head, who's the chief.
Yeah. That son of a bitch.
And they're gonna like... I guess make them sport for their hunting dogs. They're like the foxes in a fox hunt.
Yeah, they use the women for sport, and the men get sacrificed
on the spider webs.
Yeah, how their reproduction works doesn't make sense to me.
I'm pretty not sure how they do that,
because the other thing that's going to happen later, it's a fragile ecosystem, but it would work, I guess.
Uh-huh.
This one doesn't seem to make a lot of sense.
No.
Gotta at least sex up some of the women.
Right. Yeah. And we can postulate some theories on that, but they don't work as well. But
anyways, maybe they're in a tent around the corner, and they're not allowed to come into the normal village.
Nope, that doesn't work, because they fucking hunt women with dogs.
Actually, the dogs just hunt the women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But according to Willard, if you make it 300 yards, you just start zigzagging and the dogs will get confused.
Yeah, they'll just give up, I guess. No, that's not how it works, Willard.
Well, here's the deal. If you can outrun a dog for 300 fucking yards, you were in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Actually, no, you weren't. Because even people in the Olympics can't outrun a dog for 300 fucking yards.
No, no. Well, tomorrow they're all going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Bummer. It's our last night on Earth, ladies. We're here, just the three of us in a cell. This woman is a virgin. I think I need to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want her dying, ever having experienced the pleasures of syphilis. So let's do this.
It's time for tender lovemaking.
Very tender lovemaking.
And I love the pre-shot to like the, before they have this conversation where all of a sudden it's an overhead and the light's coming through the bottom of the bamboo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow, what a picturesque shot. But at the same time, Zabu's head is right in Brent Hupp's ass. So you're like, this is an amazingly well-composed shot, and it's amazingly well-composed because her head's right in his butt.
How do you think all this lovemaking talk got started, Sam?
Yeah. It's,
it turns me on.
Like, mm-hmm.
Blow a little bit into my asshole. Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah.
Few things I like less sweet, more than a rim job. Hamburgers, not getting a rim job.
Well, they so he's like, I'm gonna make love to you, but they're tied up
mm-hmm.
way far apart from each other. There is no way they're having sex.
Yes,
they can't even reach each other's smooch.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
And then things get pretty weird.
They get pretty awesome.
It's ridiculous.
This is, I think, the point where you realize how self-reflective he's being on his previous sort of erotic works.
I'm not convinced, man.
Because it's absolutely ludicrous. He puts a straw in his mouth,
uh-huh.
and then he starts rubbing her face with the other end of the straw, and it's like, oh, sexy time. And it's just, this is comedy at its finest, I think.
But what he doesn't realize is that she's kind of allergic to hay,
uh-huh.
and her face is going to start blowing up here pretty quick.
Correct.
Yeah. And so, she bites the end of the hay off, like if that was your penis, tip gone.
Well, she doesn't know what to do. She's a virgin.
It's not enough, the hay. And he's not going to be able to make physical stuff with her. So he takes her virginity via the power of poetry, mm-hmm. sexual poetry.
It's like phone sex with somebody else with a party line.
That you can't you can't play with your fiddly bits because you're tied up.
You're tied up. So they just... He gives some... very erotic talk that isn't erotic at all. And before you know it, not only is Tony Katane going crazy, but old Zabu's, she's staring at a butt. She's hearing these things. She's like, oh, hot stuff.
She blew a load in her pants.
Yep.
This is a verbal threesome. There is no way around it.
There is no way around it.
He has mentally, if he made love to Tony Katane via words, he also boned the other one.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And I don't think that these natives have a dryer. The panties are going to stay that way, I guess.
That's so dumb.
It is.
All right.
Got to wash them first.
And then the fun thing
oh
is...
Oh, my God.
the next day they easily escape.
like it's not super, that easy.
It's pretty easy.
Okay, so he gets a bigger straw and he licks up a thorn and then he uses the straw and the thorn as a blowgun and he shoots one of the natives in the eyes. That's not so easy.
It's pretty, well, it goes pretty swimmingly for him. Why didn't they try that before they needed to have the sex?
Well, Zabu chewed through his ropes.
Yeah, she's
it took all night.
Got some really good
chomper
strong teeth.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
It's one thing the French have on the English.
They escape. And we get a Scooby-Doo style chase scene.
Yes.
Which was stupid.
It was kind
of dumb. I liked it.
And it leads all the way into the Yik Yak. But the natives stop chasing because they've made it into the Yik Yak and they don't, that's the forbidden zone for them.
Yeah, the spider web nets are the end of the line for these natives.
And sure as shit, there's a reason why. There's a poison storm blows in over them. It's like the goddamn Grapes of Wrath right here.
Short order.
Yeah. Don't go out. Yeah. Now, if these sacrifice nets are to stop the poison storms, they put men up there to be sacrificed.
Yeah.
And the poison storm comes and eats the men. Then why would the poison storm ever come again?
So it's not going to come past that part. So what happens next is...
So what happens if you don't sacrifice a guy?
Then they shoot the poison storm further into the town.
Okay, but there's no guys on the nets when the poison storm comes.
There isn't, but they did. They put one in because you see in a scene when right before Tawny Katane passes out, they're carrying one of the natives. The natives are like, oh shit, we lost Brent Huff. We have to give one of our own. And so you see two ladies carrying, two mysterious figures carrying one of the natives.
So nice job buttoning loose ends up there, Just Jackin.
Yeah, like nice. It. Yeah.
Good work. I didn't put that together.
No.
So now when I say buttoning up loose ends and then this happens, they wake up later after the storm is over because they've covered themselves in like don't breathe and bury your head in sand and they get buried in sand and whatever, fine. They wake up the next day and Gwen has got heat stroke and she's on the lewds. She's like, I can see the oasis and the butterflies and my dad is there and wee, and she's running and skipping and jumping and they're like, the fuck? It's just the Sahara out here.
It's just like from my dream.
She is on the goofballs.
Yeah.
And then it's just over because they walk over to where she's at. Sure enough, there's all this shit.
There's an oasis.
Huh.
It's a cave.
But how it is shot is there's no oasis there at all.
No, well, there's a little hill, so it's on the other side of the hill.
Yeah, but she wouldn't have been able to see it. Either way. And inside is the butterfly. Hey, yep. There's the butterfly. Let's go get it. So they lower Beth in, and but she's nabbed. Like, they don't get the butterfly. Hey, I got the butterfly. And then she's nabbed, and they're like, Beth. And they grapple hook down. And
here's a weird noise when he throws the grapple hook up, and then they get up to the top.
Well, there's like, man-made stuff down there, like concrete structures. And what the hell is this place?
Yeah.
And there's a wall, and they climb it, and they chuck the grappling hook over, and...
She's like, oh my God, she's dying, Willard. And he's like, how do you think I can climb things? I only hook people in the neck with this.
Yeah, this doesn't go in a stone or anything.
No, it's just necks. Just necks.
Yeah, they've killed a guard from what appears to be like a Mad Max future movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't have any setup for who this guard is, but she's clearly a nude woman for the most part. Oh, okay. I can see where this is going. And sure enough, they break into what I am going to call the Society of Topless Future Women.
Yes.
So, all right, let's find Beth. We're going to dress up as sexy ladies. I mean, yes, you, Brett Huff, you're going to dress up as a sexy lady.
G-string and all.
This was awesome. He has a nice buns.
Oh, a nice buns.
He's got nice buns. He's got a hairy chest. I mean, there's no way in hell he's going to pass for a lady, but...
Oh, yeah, no, he's all man, Brent Huff.
He's all man, and he doesn't like it. He's so all man, he hates dressing up as a lady. So, instead, he's just going to kill Tawny Katane right there. All right. He's going to push her, he chokes her, picks her up by her throat, and she's fine with it, and dangles her out a fucking window, Like, no, I'm not doing this. I'm going to push you off of here and you're going to fucking fall to your death. And she's like, let me go. But you have to tell me you love me first.
Because I'll be screaming you. I'll be screaming your name all the way down.
And they'll hear you or hear me and come kill you.
No, she says that I'll scream your name all the way down because I'm yours, heart, body, and soul.
What the fuck is this dialogue?
And he's like, really? Oh. I don't know if she knows there's a platform down there, but there's a platform down there.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh my God, I love you. Because he accidentally drops her and she's just like standing there like, really? Cool.
See? Gotcha.
Yeah. You're not so bad after all.
No, he's real bad. Well, the whole thing is a diamond mine ran by topless women.
Yep. That's the way to do it.
Huh.
That's the way I'd do it.
Huh. Huh. This is not how that movie starring Leonardo DiCaprio went at all.
Oh, no. And some of these apparatuses don't seem to make diamonds at all.
No.
You have four topless women around the sides of this tube cranking wheels, and then two other tubes from the sky that have a bunch of other strange tubes attached to them, and then women just sort of bob in and out naked of these things. It's it's incredible. And this was based on a bondage graphic novel.
Or
bondage comics. I think these are probably made into graphic novels eventually, but they were serial at the time.
I'm sorry? A bondage graphic novel?
Yeah, these were made... Gwendolyn is a bondage comic.
Like comics that you beat off to? Or
something probably, like that? Yeah. Yeah, that's probably what happened.
Huh.
And so I think some of this...
Writing any good?
Yeah. Well, it's great.
I read it for the articles.
So, where Chris Claremont got a star, right?
Oh, yeah. No, it's not. I think his name's John Willis. But a lot of these apparatuses are probably directly from as close as they could get from the drawings, basically. So it's very imaginative stuff.
Okay. Well, they're spotted as men, or he's spotted as a man. Like, you know, I don't know about this. And they get in a big old fight.
Well, that's not what happens. What happens is that he's fighting, and then his bottom gets cut off.
No,
and
no, that's
pickle
what I'm saying.
Comes out.
Yeah, it's ding dong.
Being spotted as a man would be like, oh, that's obviously not
no,
a woman.
No, they say
this is
I smell man, and they fight him and pull his pants off to show that he's a man.
And once they see his wiener, they all kind of lose it.
Hell breaks loose.
It's a dick. It's a dick in our topless women future society. We must put that in our mouth.
The one lady goes down and she shoves her nose right underneath his balls like, I got to get a whiff.
I don't think that's what she's doing, Jackie. I just don't think that, I think she's doing what's called the oral sex, not ball sniffing. Your weird podcast obsession with the balls and how they look and how they smell doesn't really apply to the majority of women. I've understood.
These ones are future women. Maybe they are.
Maybe they love... crotchy, like, stinky, soiled green junk.
That's right. Balls.
Because she's like a ball-seeking missile.
She is a ball-seeking missile.
She just like comes from across the room right at the nuts.
I don't think this is really a very a good, strong sales point if you're trying to sell your women or your movie to feminists. I don't think feminists are going to like this part too much.
Hmm.
It's a penis! Get it!
They start fighting over it real nice.
Oh my God. Yeah, jeez. It's insane.
That is the ultimate queen of the mountain.
I got the dick.
I got two pumps before I got pushed off.
So Gwen finds a prison of natives, and she's like, So they are kidnapping the local tribesmen off the net and putting them in a cage. For what end?
Sex. Reproduction.
Yeah.
Okay. So why do they need... Well, okay. All right. That's your theory. Fine. We'll get to that
later.
No,
they say so.
All right. Well, we'll get to that later. She fights a guard, and the guard gets pushed against the cage, and the natives begin to eat that person.
Yeah. Well, they never know with these guys.
Okay. After that room, she stumbles into what I am to infer is the torture room?
It seems to be the torture room.
There's a lady being bobbed up and down on a chain into water.
Yeah.
There's another lady on like a spinning wheel. One hung uncomfortably by her arms, I think.
Above some spikes.
Yeah. And Beth's in there.
Yep.
and she's got a chain in her, or a string in her mouth that's tied to a giant crossbow with an arrow pointed at her. So if she lets go of the chain, like if her jaw loses, it's going to go shook, kill her.
Yep.
But she frees her gingerly. And that's when we get introduced to the Queen of the Weirdos. She comes in.
Yep. Uh-huh. And says, all these girls tried to run away and get their own men, so they're being tortured.
Uh-huh.
And we're torturing your friend because she lied to me and I don't like it.
Okay.
We don't do that around here. We tell the truth.
I don't know how the society works.
It's based upon the whims of this crazy woman.
Okay, let me write... Let me write some, this question down. We're going to table that. Come back to system of government and loony bin Jim town. she's also got some middle-aged guy. The Queen's got some middle-aged guy named Darcy.
Yeah, he's a scientist.
I don't understand his connection to anything.
He was the guy that makes the machines get diamonds.
Yeah, he makes the diamond mining possible.
So... this civilization didn't even exist before Darcy.
Yes, it did.
What did they do?
Their village was there, and a majority of the people were killed. Most of the survivors were women, and the men started dying off mysteriously. They tell that whole story.
Mm-hmm. And then Darcy comes along and figures out a way scientifically to tame the mountain so it doesn't erupt, and then they can just get the diamonds whenever they want with his machines.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Well, they also capture Gwen and they tie her up with no clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
Boobs are out again. Hey. Then Willard comes in and starts just chucking ladies.
Yeah. She's like, oh, Gwendolyn, you're so saucy. You either going to learn to fly ride or we're going to kill you. And all of a sudden, some woman flies through a vanity.
It's insane.
And you're like, what? And then another woman, you see Brent Huff just throw this other woman. Like
he chucks her.
It's like, ah! And then starts cussing at everybody like, fuck you! I'm going to fucking throw all these bitches! I'm going to kill every fucking mother one of you! And then they catch him.
Yeah, and Gwen strikes a sex bargain with... or the Queen strikes a sex bargain with Willard. Like, hey, if you ever want to see this girl again, well... actually, it's not even the girl. We're going to make you have sex with one of our champion women, because you were obviously a specimen man.
Yeah, you can throw a woman 40 feet, so you're pretty strong.
That's a pretty big deal here.
Yeah.
Like, that's gives you high marks on our sexy man board.
Usually we just throw rocks and sticks to see, but like you threw another human like 40 feet.
Before, the record holder was Darcy, and that was like 6 inches that he struggled to pick up a lady.
No, most of the women can throw anything farther than Darcy.
Yeah, he sucks. He was our best man before you, but boy, oy, oy. Your crotch smells terrible and we love it. So they've got a deal going on, and then I've just got a series of question marks until the next note is chariot escape. Because what happens next is just, I don't even know how to describe it.
They dip him in a pit, and the four ladies that hold on the longest, they get brought back up with him, get to compete for his penis.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's happening.
It's a strength test.
Yeah, if you can hold on to the, if you can hold on to it long enough, you can fight for the wiener.
Yep. Man meat challenge.
We're going to dip you into a pit of ladies.
Mm-hmm. And the four that come out still holding on, those are the four.
That's so weird.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then...
yeah, in the middle of this, like, as it's happening, there's, you know, just some idle female human chariots.
Just hanging out.
Just hanging out.
Yeah.
Waiting for somebody that needs to be in a chariot. That's when Tawny Katane shows up and... human chariot rescue! What? I'm sorry, what? Yes, a chariot pulled by three women in... leather bikinis, rescues Brent Huff.
They're like chariot rickshaws.
They're just chariots with humans.
Yeah, they are just chariots with humans. Yeah, they've got whips.
Yes.
You whip the ladies.
And they run.
Yeah.
And what do you do if someone makes off with your man meat in a chariot? Well, you hop into some other human chariots and you chase them. And yep. Then there's this whole Ben-Hur thing that goes on.
Yep. Some real insane stunts as well.
Oh, it's just...
A couple people take a tumble.
And it's not... It doesn't look like these are stunt people. It's like he's just having models...
No, they're topless ladies.
Yeah, he's just having models take face-first diggers into dirt piles.
Here's the thing. Chariots aren't safe for horses, and they're built for horses.
Yeah.
Chariots aren't built for people.
No!
Everybody's gonna eat shit at some point.
Everybody ate shit. It was incredible.
So they get away, and they kill one of the guards and have her body, Beth comes out of nowhere and she's like, you need to swap spots with that fighter. That's one of the fighters. She's dead. Take her costume, jump in there, and then you can win and then bone down on Willard. And they'll think you're dead. It'll be a whole like surprise thing. And you get to have sex. It'll be awesome, right? Okay, cool.
This seems like a really bad 14-year-old's plan.
Or you could just leave. Fuck Willard. Whatever.
She loves him.
Oh, fuck Willard.
She knows what love is.
Oh, he's awful. But Willard sees the body, and he's like, no! I'm going to kill you, Queen! I'm going to kill you to death!
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be dead from it. You stole my woman. You broke my heart. You burned my village. Okay. Nobody likes Conan. Okay. Right. Well, Darcy's finds out. He knows that Gwen is this other fighter, and he's like, I am going to tell you how to take this motherfucking place down in case you ever want to know. Mm. He's almost like giving a villain's monologue. Like,
well, he wants to take her for himself.
Yeah. Let's go to Bone Town.
Yeah.
Away from here.
I realize that you are the specimen. You must come with me.
Look what I've got in my pocket. It's 2 tickets to paradise.
It's really just a bunch of rock salt.
Pack your bags and leave tonight.
Mm.
What I liked is when he's like, I'm still a man, and he grabs her hand and shoves it onto his crotch.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I can still do it, see?
Mm-hmm. Not really.
It's pretty gushy down there.
Gushy.
Well, it's fight time. And the four come in, the four ladies dressed up as, they've got one hand that's got Wolverine claws, and the other one's got, like, Batman spikes on his arms.
Yep.
And Willard's in a cage watching the whole thing go down.
Kind of. He's still bitching at the queen like, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah, stupid.
She's like, how does it look, Willard? He's like, looks like you're about to die.
Let's bet on some colors. And I'm betting on green.
Yeah, and then he immediately like takes her like, oh, okay, if we're betting, I'm... Okay, we're having a conversation now. We're betting.
I'm sorry, you said bet.
I got... What can I bet here? I got green. What am I betting?
Oh, it just happens to be Tawny Kitaen that he's betting on. Well, eventually they fight, and there's only 2 of them left, but then the fight stopped. Bring in the human shield people.
Gets down to the last 2. We got to throw a wrinkle in.
The human shield people.
The butterfly wing.
Yeah. Shield people.
Shield people, human shields. Well, hers happens to be Beth. Hey, imagine that. It's Beth.
She's like, don't worry, I'll protect you for a while, and then I'm just going to fall over.
I'm just going to fall over in the dirt. Yeah, they both lose their shield people, and then after a protracted fight, Beth trips the opponent into the spikes that are surrounding the ring.
Killing her horribly.
Yeah, so Beth is actually the victor.
Yes.
But Gwen's wearing a mask, so they still don't know who she is. And they're like, take your mask off, Victor! And Russell Crowe's like, fuck you, I'm leaving my mask on, Emperor Palpatine.
Wow, we just jumped to a completely different movie.
Oh. 3 different movies, actually.
Yeah. And... May the force be with you, Harry, quoted Gandalf. That was my best Patrick Stewart, so hopefully I rounded all the bases and pissed everybody off.
And so nobody knows that it's Gwen, and until it's time to bone Willard,
and still doesn't because Darcy has given her this like sex helmet and like this huge cape thing,
uh-huh.
And so they start boning down, And the queen's like, God damn it, Darcy, what are you doing? I can't see shit.
Yep.
Well, before they even blow him down, he's like, I'm not going to bone any of your ladies. So they bring out fluffers.
And they just kiss his arms and knees.
And give him...
They gave him Viagra.
Yeah.
Or
GHB or something. I don't know. But out she comes, and they bone down in front of the queen. And Darcy gets the volcano going.
Yeah.
Because I guess he just wants to now. I don't really understand his motivation.
He was going to... So he was making a last ditch, right? Last push for Gwendolyn right before the sex business. And he's like, I already started the thing, so we got to go.
Oh.
Like, that was his, like... He already tried the, will you go out with me? No. Yes, in one box, maybe, in the next.
Uh-huh.
No option for no. She made her own no box. And gotcha. Then he's like, okay, so here's the deal. Now you can either come with me or die.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, I'll take my chances. He's like, well, son of a bitch, because I really started this volcano shit. Ooh. It's gonna erupt or something.
There's no disarm button on the bomb.
Yeah.
And then, so the whole place is falling apart. Mm-hmm. And mid-boning, they have to stop because it's falling apart. I'm not sure if they finished. But the queen just sits in her big chair and then...
starts cackling like a fucking crazy person.
And then just falls over.
Falls over backwards to death. We never see her. Unless some shit lands on her, so she's probably crushed.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting choice of demise, Queen Lady.
Yeah. This is where you know it's a breakneck production, too, because all that sweet shit they built, they break.
Yeah. Well, it's just styrofoam, Sam.
Still a lot of time.
And Willard's like, we got to get out of here, but first I got to stop in this room. And this collapsing door separates them. And she's like, no, Willard. And they climb up into the sands, the girls, and they pass out from exhaustion. And the whole place crumbles and everybody dies horribly. So Willard's no more. But then he grappling hooks her
grappling in the throat. Hooks.
She dies.
No, next to her, because it's like, this is what love is, me not throat grappling hook you.
And he's got the goddamn butterfly.
Yeah, because he's a real charmer. He's got a heart of gold, this.
I'm still not convinced.
Yeah.
I think he's a dirty, dirty bastard.
Dirty bastard.
And they wander out of the desert to live a happily
yes.
Polygamist marriage
yeah.
forever.
Hooray.
Yeah, they get about 4 feet down. He's like, so, three-way?
Yeah. Should we do this, like, legitimately? All right. That's your film. Questions first.
That was my first question. So, a three-way later?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. It's a French movie. Let's just, you know, let's end it right there. Mm-hmm. That's all you need to know. Sammy?
I have one big one. Okay. I'll wait for it.
All right. Aside from getting the butterfly, does Willard contribute in any way?
He kills a lot of people.
Yeah, but do they need him? Could they have gone through all of this if they just stopped and asked for directions?
No.
No, he helps enough.
How?
He.
I need instances.
He is the trigger on the escape from the natives. He also, without the grappling hook, they couldn't get certain places.
I think these women are resourceful enough that they don't need to have him.
Well, they both would have been raped to death in a whorehouse in the first 5 minutes of the film. So, yeah.
Not because he's a good guy. That's not because he cares about them.
It's
because
he's a murderer.
Right.
And his area of effect has benefited them.
Yeah, his accident of existence has benefited them, not his direct motivated actions. I don't think that he's helps them in the plot of this film at all.
I think he does a little.
Okay.
With throwing the woman through the mirror.
Then he gets nabbed, and then this whole fucking new thing happens. Mm-hmm. He doesn't help them in any way. Like, she could have just fucking left.
They used his boat.
Yeah. They used his boat.
They used his contact with the...
You don't think they could have just been like, hey, let's go down to Boats R Us and charter a boat guy.
Not in Ching Chang land.
It's called Cha Ching. You could just, everything's for sale.
He could, he took him up to the guy that knew where her dad was.
Yeah, Opium Man.
Okay, that's a lead. That's a lead. That's, they couldn't have done that without him.
They took it, he took him to the guy who stole her dad's clothes.
Yeah.
Again, that's just asking for directions. Hey, where's Yik Yak? That way. Go that way. Okay, thank you.
I think he served a purpose.
Okay, Jackie, next question.
Did Willard get any diamonds?
I would think so. I thought that's actually what he went in for.
It seems like he just got the butterfly because he's really got the heart of gold.
Well, he should. No, he doesn't. No, he does not. He does not have a heart of gold. He is a scoundrel. He's an awful man. He's a bad guy.
He's great.
No, he sucks. He's not a good guy. This one. I think he took some diamonds. I don't think he tells him about it. I think he has a threesome and then he goes on about his merry way after selling the diamonds.
Hmm.
I have a diamond related question.
Mm-hmm.
What do these girls do with the Future Society of Topless Women? What do they do with the diamonds?
They've been boxing them up and selling them.
To who?
People that buy diamonds.
So they've got like a wholesaler that they have like, they have trade agreements and,
yeah,
and tariffs and like an ambassador.
Yep.
And like they have, they go outside of their diamond cave city.
Yep.
Yep.
The lady, and nobody the queen knows does. About them.
People that buy diamonds do.
Oh, I think their secret little society is not going to work out in the long run with their diamond selling.
Well,
ways.
They got it all worked out.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So how long before, because he's already banged Gwendolyn, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how long does he go before he gets his, after he gets his $2,000 before he splits?
That's what I'm saying. Like, they're going to have that three-way and he's out. He's done. I nailed the one. Hey, this is going to be easy. I'm wrapping this up really nice.
I'm out.
No,
they went. They're together forever.
They're not together.
She taught him what love is.
Yeah, it's forever.
She blackmailed him into saying, I love you.
They become world famous antologists.
Antologists.
Yep.
Entomologists.
Entomologists.
Ent.
Entomologists.
Entomans delicious cakes.
Yes.
And the
they discover
trees.
More insects.
Nope. Three-way.
And have more adventures.
Three-way bail. I got a pocket full of diamonds. Diamonds on the soles of my flip-flops.
Mm.
I've got an interesting theory, because I'm not real sure how this all works. But is there any chance that... Actually, it's not a chance. I've got a very good instance of proof that these members of this topless future robot... Or Society of Topless Women are robots.
I think some of the ones that were working the machines, no, because they all ran for his penis.
Uh-huh.
So, no, they're not robots.
The lady
so
that gets they, eaten why, bleeds.
Why can't they be pleasure models? Why can't they have red hydraulics?
Well, what really separates us from robots is the programming, and they've obviously been programmed to be human robots.
What separates us from the robots is that we don't have robot voices, because we didn't address that at any point.
They have robot voices.
They have robot voices.
Intermittently.
And they are attached to machines where they don't do anything but go up and down tubes. I think...
Some of them are robots.
The ladies that are spinning the tubes that go and with creating ladies that go up and down tubes, that's the robot manufacturer for slave labor.
Hmm.
And I think that they're all robots. And... The ones that are being punished have been naughty robots, just the same as naughty ladies. But why have any ladies? And you make this back history because you're a fucking Looney Tune queen. She probably just got exiled, found a cave, started living in it, like one of those creepers. And then Darcy comes along and he's like, you know what? How about some sexy robots? Don't wear tops. I'm a scientist. I can do it. And there's diamonds, and we need. They make this elaborate backstory to make these robots not rebel. That make they feel like people. They're robots.
Mm, okay. Yeah.
I also think that George Lucas was probably a fan of this film because the Queen has very similar outfits to some of Queen Amidala's outfits from Star Wars.
I would actually say that I think that both Jakin and Lucas are fans of 15th century Japan, because I think that's probably where most of it's coming from.
I was thinking Kurosawa, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Another question. It's almost, maybe it's as big as yours. I don't know. You want to do your big one now? Or should we address the rules of the society? Should we address the rules of the society? How does this work? Or did we kind of clear that up with Jackie's theory? I think we kind of
got it.
We got it.
If Firewalker, starring Chuck Norris and Louis Gadget Jr., is to romancing Stone, how do those questions work? If Firewalker is to romancing Stone, what is this as to this? Yeah.
I don't really think there's a lot of parallels for this, like, because it's a
adventure movie. Clear.
Yeah, there's like, and he's not very. He's not a clone or a stamp of another hero because mm-hmm. he's this like scuzzy boat.
Other
captain.
Than being smarmy,
yeah,
he's very smarmy.
But he doesn't have like he's not Indiana Jones.
Right.
He doesn't, and the grappling hook switchblade knife that he has a leather strap for his arm is. Such a unique gimmick weapon, and he's just kind of his own thing.
Jackie, can you even put this anywhere near another movie?
No, it's just too weird.
It is on its own fucking plane.
It's super original.
Yeah, super original, super... I would say the closest thing I could come up with, just because of the future society of topless ladies, is like Zardoz. But that's not even really that similar. No. It's just like, well, that's pretty weird, and this is pretty weird, so I guess, like, my connection is weirdness.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
Mm.
Sammy, go ahead.
Is it art?
Well, clearly, yeah. Well, otherwise, we don't have a podcast. All this shit is art, Sam. Art. Yeah,
but I mean, I think this is, like, art.
Is it striving to be interpreted as... deeper than what it is visually, what's on the surface, is it interpreted? Is it meant to be interpreted that as something deeper than its surface features, which is the definition of say, Picasso's level of art.
Sure. But that like maybe more than that, like there's also just art is in form.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that regardless of the messages or any of the sexual nature of this, it's sheer beauty.
Maybe you should say, is it good art?
Well, is it just art as an aesthetic? Like, is this like high art in terms of its visual aesthetic?
No.
No.
Really?
No, I didn't think it was as beautiful as you think it is.
I think it's fucking fantastic. I think it's art.
I think there were some very serious flaws with some of the shots, but...
Well, the sets, though, are fucking crazy.
They were pretty styrofoamy, dude.
A low budget production. This thing looks great.
Oh, and I'm sorry, I wasn't looking at any of the sets.
I was looking at sets. Hey.
Yeah, the sets were great, Sam. Lots and lots of great sets. No, I think it's definitely art, and I think it was definitely striving to be art. But it's all art, Sam. It's all art. If you say it's art, then it's fucking art.
I really like in the period that this is happening. You have. Do you remember like this seriously weird Calvin Klein magazine ads that Charles Avedon was doing where just the fashion world, there was a few insiders that were obviously so tired of doing it, but they were getting such huge amounts of money thrown at them that they were just making everything completely absurd.
Yeah.
And this is in there. It's part of that same, it's like a movie of these magazine ads. And I think it's really picturesque.
Final recommendations on this. Jackie, you go first. Just say why.
Do Mountain Dew.
And don't say because I liked it.
Oh. Well, that was my only reasoning.
Why should somebody watch this, Jackie?
Because I liked it.
She's fired.
Sam? No, I thought the storyline went well. It had a good pace to it. It was not, you guys are right, it's not like anything I've ever seen before. The characters are completely kind of ass backwards, so it kind of, you know, in today's society anyway, no woman in their right mind would be like...
In these modern times.
Yeah, like, nobody would be like, oh my God, you're such a fucking asshole, I love you.
Well, you
Please
do.
Please treat me like shit. you know, just the creativity behind everything was the different worlds that they go into and stuff. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. Sammy?
Yes, it is a wild fucking ride. There's very few movies that you can watch that at every turn of the corner, you don't see any of this coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a bag of surprises, which is why you should watch it. It's great.
I also say do. It is weird and wild, where Wild is an Andy Sedaris film, and Weird is a film by, who's that guy that did the Black Mountain? Or not Black Mountain, the Holy Mountain?
Jodorowsky.
Yeah, Jodorowsky. Weird and Wild. Yeah, and that is a hell of a combo.
It is. It has elements of both Sedaris and Jodorowsky. It's something else.
Weird and Wild. That is all the reason you need right there. Definitely do. On streaming do's and don'ts, we don't actually have any streaming, and they might be streaming, but we saw all these via disc because one of our good friends is in town, Roman. So these are Roman do's and don'ts. Starting out with me, we're getting low on time, and I want to get to some stuff, so we're going to do these fairly fast. But Sam and I watched a movie on disc starring Sonny Chiba.
Sonny Chiba.
Called Wolf Guy.
Yes.
Directed by the same guy that did Sister Street Fighter.
Yes. The one thing that's, I think, great about the title Wolf Guy is that you really couldn't call it anything else. You can't call it Wolf Man. You can't call it, like, Wolf Cop because he's a reporter. You can't even really call it Wolf Reporter because he barely does any of that.
He's not even really a reporter.
He's just a wolf guy.
Wolf guy.
And it's Chiba in his most lovable period, his mid-30s. He's very expressive. He's fun. He makes up moves, and versus a lot of like martial arts films, these like, oh, let's slow motion this and kind of dwell on this. He doesn't. He's always just like, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do something else that isn't really a fighting move either, and then I'm just going to move on to more wacky business and then do some real fighting moves.
And then when he becomes a werewolf, or he's got the spirit of the wolf, I don't even fucking know what wolf guy involves.
Yeah.
But some of his superpowers are pretty far out.
Yeah. He's got wolf vision.
Wolf vision, yeah. And then there's his like, the other superpower person is a tiger lady who I think can turn invisible, but only his wolf vision can detect the tiger in the room.
Yeah. And it's just an overlay of a tiger.
Oh, it looks so shitty.
So dumb.
It's awesome. Wolf Guy's a total to do for me.
Yeah, I love Wolf Guy.
Good time. Good time. Not a werewolf movie like you've ever seen, unless you've seen.
Sonny Chiba doing Sonny a werewolf Chiba movie.
Being a wolf man.
He did a lot of that stuff that it's like, oh, I'm going to do one of these movies. And you're like, well, it's a Sonny Chiba movie for sure. Mm-hmm, but is it a werewolf movie?
Yeah. Question mark. Sam, you watched something on your own this week.
After you left, Roman and I watched Gietven.
Gietven. Okay.
It's not Gietven. The movie is supposed to be called Get Even. And it's one of these vanity pieces that, like, it's a karate instructor that knew Wings Hauser and William Smith. So let's make a movie, right?
Okay, so we're talking, like, early 80s, late 70s?
91, 92.
Okay, much later than I thought.
And it was, from the onset, I called it Gietven because the title Get Even, they forgot to put a space in between Gietven. Get and Even.
Or it's Gethven.
No, there's no T. There's no H. It's Get Even. And they just ran it together. So it's Get Even or Gietven.
Gietven.
And it's in quotes, too. So it's like they had enough time to put the quotes in
right,
there.
Right, right, right.
But they couldn't put the space in there or something. I don't know. But it says Get Even or Gietven. You're like, oh, my God. They fucked up the opening graphic. That's terrible. And it gets worse from there. It was worth watching. Barely, but it's notable. What kept me going was that Wings Hauser was either really high on cocaine and drunk or the greatest actor of all time. I think it's the former.
I think it might be the former.
Yeah. But his on-screen shenanigans keep you alive through the thing.
So pretty good time then.
It was okay. There's a meander, like the story's almost non-existent, and it meanders around. Just like at one point it's just this guy doing karate on his porch, and then he comes in and he's got one of those mid-sized poodles and it's got a black belt and it's standing on its hind legs and it does a dance and he throws it cheese
Oh, brother.
And then he does, like, his own music through the whole film. He owns
his own karate dog.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And he does his own music, and he sucks. And at one point, there's a music video. It's not a music video, but he goes into this bar, and they're like, oh, hey, obviously. And throughout the whole film, like, he's, like, showcasing the talents. He does some Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. And he goes into this bar, and they're like, hey, Randy, or whatever the fuck your name is, you should do a song. So he just, like, goes on stage with the band and does this prolonged nonsense song called The Shuffle and the Slide. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows the dance to it, and it fucking blows ass.
Oh, my God.
So it has some real moments, but unfortunately, there's a lot of dry spots, too. So okay, it's a barely-do.
Barely-do. Jackie, you watched one on your own as well. What have you got?
I watched a movie from The Haunting's 4-film pack.
Okay.
And it was called Grave Secrets, The Legacy of Hilltop Drive.
Oh, God.
It was based off a true story.
Oh, where, sure. Yeah, right.
They bought these houses on a new land development, and there were some graves that were there, and the toilets would flush mysteriously by themselves.
Oh, my God.
Spooky toilets.
The ghosts also like to change the channel when you were watching TV.
The horror!
I just want to leave it on Fox News.
Okay, what else? What else?
And they cast shadows on the wall. That's it.
That's the entire movie.
And the neighborhood is trying to sue the developer to get their property values back.
Because it was built on an Indian burial ground.
Right, and the houses are all defective.
So there's not actually any horror.
The garage door goes up and down a bunch on its own.
So everything's... the toilet flushes on its own. Shitty wiring, and their fucking plunger is broke on the toilet. And it's a true story about spooky ghosts. This is why spooky ghosts are so stupid, Jackie, is because any rational person could be like, your fucking toilet plunger is broken. So
they did find 2 dead bodies in somebody's backyard.
That doesn't mean spooky ghost.
And they abandoned that section of the development. All the property owners did. They just let the banks foreclose on them because nobody could live there because everybody's experiencing different things.
Then it's spooky ghost because your toilet's flush and your TV channel changes.
Not the economy.
Yeah. God damn it. Oh, no, not a true story. Do or don't, Jackie.
Don't do it.
No, right.
It would be really fun if you were kind of high and you had other people there that were high with you and you were eating pizza and you laughed your ass off hysterically. Like the first time you get introduced to the ghost, the daughter is upstairs and she's used the bathroom and she's, you know, sprinkling water on her face and she doesn't feel good. And then the toilet flushes again, and she's like, dun, dun, dun. The toilet just flushed on its own.
The ghost was helping out. It was a double pumper.
Or it took its own shit. It doesn't make any sense.
No.
Why would a disembodied figure who is no longer alive, who could choose to maybe go to the afterlife, whatever that may be, whatever religious you feelings you have, whether it's heaven or being reincarnated into a dog or... if you just eat a giant bowl of spaghetti, whatever that is, after you die, why would you go up to somebody's house and take a shit in the toilet and flush and be like, hey, I'm Steve, the spooky ghost. Mm. Fuck off. That is so stupid.
Hey, later on, I'm going to open your garage door and then I'm going to close it again.
You could do other things. God damn it.
Yeah, didn't they ever see ghosts? You got to get sexy and make pottery.
Yeah, pottery, man. You could do. So that's dope. We have some listener feedback. And I want to preface this listener feedback, Jackie, with some notes that we've made. I've got a fairly long email, and we don't have time to read the whole thing. But it ends in from Michael, who says, oh, and Jackie rocks. Never quit, guys. Then later this week, Owen from Bad Movie Sunday said, hashtag all hail Queen Jackie. Then somebody saw a picture of Jackie holding a rocket launcher that I posted on Twitter, and they said, why do you guys piss her off? That's a bad idea. Here's the deal.
I am that fucking awesome. Yes!
Here's the deal why I get to piss off my wife. Earlier today, she'd made me listen to an extended version of the Bat Dance while I was trapped in the car. 20 minutes of Bat Dance.
It was so awesome.
That is a crime in some countries, mm-hmm. Jackie.
Bat Dance.
Nope. Nope. That's why, guys. So that's awesome. Why we get to do things that we do to Jackie is because of 20 minutes of Bat Dance.
Well, thank you, listeners. I really do like to hear from you.
All right. Van Diver pipes in on Facebook at Van Diver, good friend of the show. He says, I'm watching a stinker this morning. Let me tell you, Jackie Chan and The Spy Next Door. Sam, you ever watched that one?
Yeah.
Oh, I have.
Yeah. Jackie
I've
did.
Seen that one, too.
Oh, okay. I replied saying, that is right in that window after rush hour when people forgot who Jackie Chan actually was. Avoided it like the plague. Let us know if it's a do or not. Van Dizer said, it was a hard decision, but don't.
Yeah, no. That one with Jennifer Love Hewitt stinks, too.
Yes, it does. What was that one called?
The Tuxedo.
Yes, indeed. Red Cap Jack, regarding our Nine Deaths of the Ninja episode, writes in and says, Saigon. As someone who loves puns, I must say this groan-worthy monstrosity is worth negative 50 points. God have mercy on you.
Aww.
He also says, oh my God, Sword and the Sorcerer is awesome, but avoid the sequel, which exists and is horrible.
They did make the sequel? I've never seen it.
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, I'm super excited to watch that, even though I was told not to just now. Right. Like, I cannot turn away.
It's kind of like when you know that something's going to stink. Somebody's like, oh my God, you got to smell this. And you know it's going to be gross, but you do it anyway.
Oh, this milk's gone bad. Let me try it.
Yep.
Oh, also, he has a streaming do's and don'ts. 2009's Ninja Assassin featuring an elderly Shokosugi.
Yeah.
As a master ninja. Not good, but kind of fun.
I thought Ninja Assassin was fun. I liked it.
Yeah, I thought we watched that right before we started the podcast, but I don't totally remember. Yeah.
I'd like to watch that again.
Okay. That's your show, folks. Write to us if you want to be on listener feedback. Hit us up at Talk at Stinker Madness or at Stinker Madness on either Twitter or Facebook. We've got some potential changes on the show. We're going to do some researching on some stuff, but we might have some big news here to tell you here pretty soon.
Bat Dance!
No, it's not the Bat Dance! Oh,
damn it!
God damn it!
This town needs an enema!
God damn it. I'm mad that you just made me remember how much I hate that song. Whatever.
Get to the chopper.
Visit us at www.stinkermadness.com. Follow Stinker Madness on Twitter at Stinker Madness. Please rate and review us on iTunes and Stitcher. Thank you for listening and get to the chopper.
Out of nowhere, I just got fucking Joe Walsh stuck in my head. It's not good.
My Maserati goes 185.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doom, doom, doom. Nope, stop. I don't need it.
My Maserati equals 185.
Joe Walsh sucks.
I lost my license. Now I don't drive.
Whoa, that's so good. That's shittier than Jimmy Buffett.
It is not.
It's shitty.
I have a license.
No.
Got an office. Forget the cost.
Yeah. Hey, you want to make a funny song? Do stand up or something. I don't play it on my goddamn radio with bad musical accompaniment. At least Al Yankovic is a hell of a musician. I shouldn't say at least Al. Thank you, Weird Al, for being a hell of a musician.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.